Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Extreme norm of bumps and bruises after a game. So that it's, but as far as like me being able to, you know, access my crystal ball, it's broke right now.
Welcome back to BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM with the Joes and Aaron Hawksworth on the BetQL Network.
Welcome back. BetQL Daily right here on the BetQL Network. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawks are with you on a Tuesday. Of course, presented by BetMGM. The voice there of Mike McDaniel. He doesn't have a crystal ball. It's broke. His team isn't broke. They're 3-0 right now. Dolphins and the Bengals. There's line movement in that one. We'll get to it as we look at the line movement for week four starting Thursday night. But first, let's kind of big picture where we're at. Totals and over-unders so far this season and dogs versus favorites. Joe, where are we at through 3 weeks? I know, I guess it ended up pretty even this week in terms of unders and overs. Pretty even.
Yeah.
2 weeks
yeah.
were definitely unders weeks. But it's been more of a an underdog season so far.
Well, and it was an underdog week, which, you know, just looking at it selfishly, Paul, I can't believe that we had a 4-1 week because we liked all favorites for the most. Was it all favorites except for one? Yeah, it was all favorites
was
except
for
Atlanta
favorites.
Was the only dog.
And I tweeted out, hey, favorites only have to go 4-10 against the spread for us to have a good week. And we picked the right four.
Five covered. Five favorites covered, and we had four of them.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah, we got lucky. So dogs go 10-5-1 against the spread this week. But check this out. Nine dogs won straight up.
Wow.
Nine. So we had more underdogs as winners than favorites this week. Is it a big surprise? No, that's what the NFL is, but it's all close spreads. So it made sense. A lot of those dogs. If you're going to have a week, it's when you have a number of close spreads. So dogs on the year, 60%. Unders on the year, 62%. Primetime under did not continue last night because we got that laid over. They're 7-3 on the year. We'll see if that's a thing or not. Lately, it feels like we're getting more overs, though. Here's one that stands out with a sample size of 18. Division matchups. We always say very tight. You don't want to take a favorite with a big number, all that stuff. The dog is not the trend with divisional matchups. The trend has been unders in divisional matchups. Unders are 15-3 in those divisional matchups early on. So
that makes sense.
Something to keep in mind. Lower score, not only close, but lower scoring more so.
So unders 15-3 in division matchups so far. That's interesting. So what do we have this week? What applies before we go any further? Tennessee, Indianapolis certainly applies to that. That's a divisional matchup this weekend.
By the way, we might have a public dog in that game early on. We might.
Really? The Titans?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I know the Colts are impressive, but the Titans stink. I guess the
Commanders, Cowboys, but that's Commanders, a low Cowboys. Total already. Whew.
Right, but Wentz might get sacked 15 times, so that's trouble for Washington. And then there's also Rams, Niners, and one more, Denver, Las Vegas. So four.
So what are the totals in those games? The Tennessee Indy one is down. It's sitting at 43. The Washington Dallas. 42.5. God, these are so low. Denver, Vegas.
Las Vegas, 45.5, and then 42.5 Rams, Niners. They're all low anyway.
Man, if you look at that matchup just 3 weeks ago, Denver and Vegas, you know, if I'm asking you to come up with a number on what you think is going to happen, don't you think 50s? High 40s, low 50s? Now we're 44.5.
Sure.
Based on what's happened. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting to take a look at. And since the week wrapped up, I didn't have anybody pick a Monday night game, but there was in every other survivor pool I'm in, us, including Circa. So here's the update through 3 weeks on Circa. We're down to 1,550, and we have one. I have a couple as well. So 4,583 eliminated in 3 weeks, meaning 75% are out. 76% out in my pool. We're down to 273 in that one. That's amazing that through 3 weeks, only one quarter of the pool is left.
Do you think this pool, either one, right, the Circa or yours, only lasts a small portion of this season? Or are we now going to have less casualties each week and we just kind of drip and drab our way to the end?
I thought about that. And what's interesting is huge growth in both pools. So does it matter as much if you compare it to last year? So like mine almost doubled. Circa, like what was it? It went from 4,000 to 6,000. It's massive. Massive. Here's the thing. You only need a handful of people to keep it going again. Here's another week. So my pool, I had a little more than half of what it is this year. It still went to week 16. So in the Circa one, you have the 20 selections instead of just one per week because of Thanksgiving and Christmas. I think it goes longer than people say. I'm hearing it a lot. I'm seeing it on social media that these are going to be done by Thanksgiving. Don't worry about the Thanksgiving games. I strongly disagree. This is going to go almost in the entire season. I don't agree with that. We're not going to have, and we've also had, I think, 59 people that have not made picks in Circa.
It's crazy. it's crazy. It's
idiot.
It's especially crazy in Circa. Like your pool, I get there's email reminders. You paid the $50 or whatever. Like Circa,
it's 50. It's not 1,000.
Right. It's a way bigger buy-in. It's and you had to have a commitment. Right. You had a you didn't just like DM you to get in Circa. Like there was a commitment to enter that.
You still not flew there. You had to fly.
Or were these people just drunk in Vegas? Like, let's just enter. This seems like a great idea. And they're just forget about it once they go home.
I think that's legit for week one, but you win and then you have all these people knocked out. And now you're into week three, and then you forget. Now you're forgetting still after you advanced, and you're in the mix. You're in the mix for a million. It's like, oh, these people. I mean, I'll take it. There's more people out. Fine.
Thank you. Exactly.
Less competition. It is remarkable. All right, let's.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's wild. Okay. Yeah. All right, line movement for this week. Let's talk about some of the games, how they're going, where they're going to. Let's start with Thursday. It's a game that we all have opinions on right away. It's a fun matchup. It looks like a better matchup than I thought it would be before the season. The Bengals obviously have struggled a little bit, actually more than a little bit. They're 1-2, and their offensive line still has issues. And Miami's off to a 3-0 start. First thought, Aaron was like, maybe the Dolphins as a dog? Well, you're getting more points now, Aaron. +3.5, Miami is getting 3.5. Joe, your first thought was Bengals. I'm on the Bengals side. Now we'll see where this number continues to go. I think it's a Bengals spot on Thursday. I just think there's a lot working against Miami. The emotional win, road game, short week for a rookie coach. And Tua's banged up. Let's not forget that. That was a whole controversy. Was that a concussion they hid? He's saying it was his back. I watched the replay a couple more times yesterday. I can buy it was his back. He fell awkwardly and then – like, I've had back issues, and, like, you kind of stumble.
You didn't
think
it was the helmet hitting the ground?
I did, but I can buy that it was his back, like, because he lost his equilibrium. Maybe he had, a sharp pain in his back, but whatever, right? He's not fully right heading into a short week.
Yeah. There's a lot of reasons to like Cincinnati. A coach, like you mentioned, that hasn't dealt with the Thursday night short week, but in addition to that and their injuries – look, I mean, they were on the field for 90 plays, their defense.
Yeah.
90 plays in the heat. And now a few days later, they've got to go on the road and play Joe Burrow, play Jamar Chase. This is 4 now at some spots. It was 1.5, and when we were talking about it, it was like 2.5 to 3, and now it's 4. Like, the word is out on this matchup. It's amazing to me that the Dolphins – go and they have, you know, their big win of the year thus far, and they take down the Bills, a team that everybody's worried to bet against, the Super Bowl favorite, the MVP favorite, And now all of the movement on the point spread, I'm not going to say public money, but the movement is all in favor of Cincinnati just after getting their first win of the year and taking down the Jets. And I'm back in Cincinnati. I'm a little surprised at how much movement we've had here.
I think for me, it really just depends on Tua and his back and his health, because if it is fine and he's good to go, I mean, I still like the weapons that the Dolphins have. Their defenses look good. Mike McDaniel, we just heard he doesn't have his crystal ball is broken. He's a soundbite machine. He's got his guys ready to play. I mean, I just think the Dolphins are for real, and I think they can compete in this game.
I think they'll compete.
Give me the plus four.
Yeah, Aaron's on the Dolphins. There's no question about that.
Yeah, well, you can't, after the stance that you had on Monday, you can't back off now. You're in.
I'm not.
You're in.
I'm
You're
not.
Like, you guys are insane.
I am
like,
in.
You guys are insane.
It's a magical season.
People are going to hate Mike McDaniel when they
say,
oh,
you know what? Wait a second. We have found it. I'm windhorsing it. We have found it. The Dolphins are Joe O's Cardinals. They're this year's Cardinals. He's laying the seeds. He's planting the seeds.
Gonna say they're frauds.
When they're 6-2 or 7-1 or whatever, they get off to a good start. I can feel it. I can feel it.
I haven't said they're frauds yet. I haven't said they're frauds yet.
I can feel it. It's forming.
Well, they're gonna be number one in Aaron's power rankings tomorrow, right? We have to.
No question.
I'll play into the bit and just overreact.
I think Joe G was the only one that had him in the top five last week.
I did. I have a five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll play into the bit. I'll put him in my bottom five.
I love it.
The bottom five. All right.
We're
Let's
in.
Throw this line,
this is
line
fun.
Movement at you. This is an interesting one. We just had Jason Scott on. He was talking to us about public team, the Detroit Lions, every week. Okay, so if you factor that in, the line movement tells you this is sharp money coming in that's moving this the other way. The Lions opened up, I believe it's 6 or 6.5 point favorites at home against the Seahawks. We are looking now at 4.5 at BetMGM. I'm not going to pretend that I am going to beat the sharps week to week, but I'm on the Lions this week. This reminds me of the same thing happened with Washington. Like, are the Lions a very good team? No, I don't think they are yet. But they keep getting garbage teams at home that they will beat. I thought they beat Washington. The line moved towards Washington. It didn't matter. I don't understand this. Unless there's injury. I know DeAndre Swift's hurt. He might not play in this game.
That's
He's
it.
A really good
That's
player.
That's it.
But I still like the Lions at home. Maybe it's closer than I think, and this line's going to come into play. But like, the Lions are a 6 or 7 win team. Don't they have to win this game at home, Joe? Isn't this, when you look at a schedule and you say, they could get to 7 wins, this is one of those wins. They have to beat bad teams at home. I think they will.
Yeah. Well, okay, when people are right on the Lions, when they're winning bets, when are they taking the Lions? Like last week. Situations like last week.
Right.
Lions plus 6. Lions plus 7. They're not taking them Lions minus 6. Now we're down to 4.5. I do understand that. I think that was just like an outright fade. Like, whoa. Detroit Lions... they must win by at least a touchdown for me to win my wager. That is too much respect. I don't think it has anything to do with the Seattle side, because please tell me what the positive move is there. Seattle might be the worst team in the NFL based on what we've seen offensively since game one, which was a whole nother thing that you've got to put in a different bucket. And I still hear people reference that game. Like, don't even put that game into your handicapping. Pretend that game never existed. I'm not saying because it was their big win. I'm saying there was a lot of things going on around that game that you can't put into it moving forward. I don't know that they have the worst quarterback in the NFL, but because Justin Fields exists right now, but he's one of them. Oof. So I just thought that was the Lions should not be favored by 6 over any NFL team. And that's why people played the other side earlier in the week.
I have a question as we're trying to navigate who's who at this point in the season. Like, what do you factor in more? Teams struggling against bad competition or teams playing well against really good competition?
Depends how people react. If it's bad competition and they're winning and people are moving their power rankings much higher, moving point spreads, then I'll look at the other side. Right?
Right.
Like, what about Vegas? So they keep losing these really close games. Are they an awful team? I don't think they are. But it kind of depends how the betting market. I'm not really answering your question, but you know what Jason Scott just told us. He just told us that people still don't want to bet on the Jaguars.
Right.
That makes me perk
up. We've been talking about it all week.
Yeah.
Well, all the numbers. Yeah. Everything says that they're good. Like there's something going on there. Just off the question and back to the, I feel like the Lions have been very predictable. I feel like I've got to read in the Lions. They've covered two games against good teams. Eagles and Vikings. Haven't won, but they covered them. And they won and they covered when they were the favorite against Washington. I think they do it again this week. Now, I'm happy the number is going to 4.5 and not 8. But I think they're going to beat bad teams, and I think they're going to probably lose close to good teams. That feels like the 2022 Lions right now to me. We'll see if they continue. We'll see what they do. Joe O, Joe G, Aaron Hawksworth, BetQL Daily. On the other side, we will get to Jason Logan, Senior Industry Analyst of Covers. com. That's next on the BetQL Network.
We'll be right back with BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM on the BetQL Network.